Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
We're continuing this series today called Roots, and it's all about building resilience, building strength by having deep roots. I was actually talking to someone earlier this morning about our planter boxes in our backyard that do not have a lot of dirt. They're very shallow planter boxes because we have a bunch of old wood and rocks and broken up concrete in the base of these planter boxes. So there's really not that much dirt. And the roots for whatever we plant can't go very deep. We've actually planted carrots in the planter boxes before, and they end up like growing sideways. They get crooked because they have nowhere to go. So the things that we plant sometimes, like this corn that we planted most recently, it's never grown to its full potential. You would think we had planted like mini corn plants, because they were not able to have deep roots. They were not able to thrive. And so with the Lord and with the people that I believe God is wanting us to become, a huge part of that is that we allow our roots to go deep. There is actually a parable in the New Testament about seed and what type of soil it is on determines what will happen to it, whether or not it will be eaten up or destroyed, or if it will grow and flourish. So the theme today is specifically roots and talking about the importance of community. All right, so establishing deep roots in community. We were created for community. Unity is something I talk about a lot because unity is at the heart of the gospel. Everything that we see from the early church and how the gospel was not just for Jews but also for Gentiles, the fact that the believers would eat together and pray together and share their belongings with one another, and they had everything in common. It demonstrates that unity is at the heart of God, and community is really just that. It's unity with other believers. It's unity within the body of Christ, and it's the idea that we are made for relationship. We're made for each other. That's why Friday night was such a good time, because we are made for relationship. However, I have to acknowledge that community also has challenges. There are barriers to community. There are barriers to vulnerability. And so I think we have to look at them. And the reason that we're going to look at them today is for two reasons. One is so that I can recognize, each of us can recognize in our own lives, where have I been hesitant to lean into community because of these things? And then the second reason is because it causes us, I believe it will cause us, to be more sensitive to what other people are going through, as sometimes they lean into community and then they pull back, and we don't know why. Is it something I did? Is it something I said? And so if we can understand what some of those barriers are to community and building roots that go deep in community within the body of Christ, then I think we can be more sensitive to people and what they're facing. We can be more patient with them. And we can really, I think, be more intentional about how we pursue them in kindness, in love, in relationship. So, like I said, the early church has the example in Acts 2:42-47. I've preached on that very recently, so I'm not going to go into that too much, but it was the idea that they had everything in common, and the Lord added to their numbers daily. So when the early church, when the believers were praying together and eating together and fellowshipping together and being generous together, God multiplied them. They grew, all right? The church expanded. So what that tells me is that that's what God is looking for from the church. If, now I know I've had some people tell me before, not everything that grows is healthy. That is true. Not everything that grows is healthy. But in the context of the church growing, we can see that this was something that the Lord was honoring. This is something that was pleasing God. It says in verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And this is very interesting because the idea of everybody sharing together and everybody eating together is something. All right. Lots of cultures like to eat together, right? Lots of cultures like to have a good party that centers around food. Our church loves the culture of eating together. And our church has been known for many years to do very regular potlucks and everybody coming together and eating. And in the New Testament, what we're talking about, that what life was like then, you know, food was also a big deal culturally. And eating together is a big deal. But at that time, what it was all about was really social hierarchy. So what that means is that it was really like the rich men got to eat at a special table and have a nice meal together, and it kind of emphasized how special they were. And maybe the women weren't invited to the table. Maybe the poorer people were not invited to that table. What you ate was about your social status, maybe also your status within the church. Maybe if you were a leader of the church, you would get to go and be at certain tables. And if you were not one of the leaders of the church, you couldn't be at that table. You couldn't eat there. But the gospel is that all are welcome at the one big table. And the gospel is all about breaking down those societal hierarchy kind of distinctions that were so common in the day. And you know what? Are they common today too? If we're honest, I think they kind of are. And I think we kind of struggle with it. And so I'm saying this because as we work to build community within our church, we have to avoid that tendency to only go with the ones that are the same as us. Because that is not the heart of God. So I'm looking at a woman right now who is not unlike probably my mom, my aunt, my cousin, myself. Like, I probably want to be like her. How her house is now, how her children are now, like her family, a lot of those things, 20 years from now, maybe we're only 10 years apart. I don't know. Whatever. I don't know how far apart we are, but I'm not going to presume. 10 or 15 years from now. That's how I hope my life will look like. The way she decorates, the way she dresses, you know, those things. And that relationship is good to have with people that you admire and want to be like and that are familiar to you. That maybe like, oh, the way she kind of does those desserts, it makes me feel like home, like it's familiar to me. But it's also good and really important in the community and pursuing community with believers that I go into the home that is very different from my home. Very different from my home. And I learn to be at home in that, knowing that God is no respecter of persons. He loves us all equally. And we have to realize that if I'm gonna love like Jesus does, I literally have to ask God, give me your heart to love people well and not just sit with the ones that I'm comfortable with and not just go to that table that is set with the forks and the knives and the spoon just like I like, with the napkin the way I like it. There's nothing wrong with that. But that I can also be really comfortable eating with my hands, you know, and doing that at that table and not be like, that's better than that. It's all God's family and it is all community. And so if you feel yourself pulling away from a group and being like, I don't want to have anything to do with that. I'm not like those people. I would say that's probably the people that God wants to kind of shift your heart toward. I'm not saying that you're necessarily going to always be their best friend. I don't know. But what I am saying is that God softens our hearts to where he bonds us to one another in this brotherly love and this commonality of by grace we're saved through faith, not of works. It's a gift of God and we are all his children and we all are a part of his house. I wasn't going to share it today, but there's this scripture that I keep going back to. For the past year, I've been reading the book of Haggai. Probably, I don't know. I read it a lot. I'll just say this. It's only two chapters, so it's not really saying a lot that I'm reading this whole book repeatedly. It's only two chapters. But it's all about building God's temple, building God's house. And he says, in the prophecy, he's saying, you're busy building your own house, making your house look all cool with the nice new shiplap and the accent walls and the gold-plated whatever, and you're busy building your house. He's like, well, my house lies in ruins. He says, build my house. That's what I want you to do. And I know how easy it is for us, even in community, even in our pursuit of community, to just build the little, this is like me kind of thing. And so I'm saying this kind of as we head into connect groups, we're going to do something that's kind of familiar to us. Maybe we're going to try to get a couple people that are, you know, maybe a little similar to us or not. But then that doesn't become our click. It becomes a connecting point, not a thing to separate us from everybody else. It's just, would God just keep expanding our reach? Do you hear me on that? So it's not like, oh, these are now my three people, and now I don't have to have anything to do with the rest of you all. It's not like that. It's not like that. And I feel like at our church, we've been very intentional about that, loving everybody. But that's the heart of God. And that's what community looks like in God's house. So he says, build my house. And the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former. And in this place, I will give peace. So that's what God loves. He loves when we build his house. So I have just a couple. That was just my introduction, I guess you'd say. I have a couple, and we only have about 5 minutes left. I have a couple of scripture verses about unity and community, the importance of being deeply rooted in God's love and how that can strengthen and grow our faith. Ephesians 3:17-19 says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. So being rooted deeply in love is what keeps a community bound together. That's what keeps believers united. Love. So when we're not united, we have to assume it's because we're struggling to love. And we know that the only way that we can love is because of receiving God's love for us, right? And so we have to continually invite his love in. Colossians 2:6-7 says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Okay, so again, you've received Jesus, be rooted and built up, strengthened in the faith, and that comes partly from community, other believers, fellowship with other believers. It strengthens us. It grows us. And so the heart of God is connection and community. He wants us to be firmly planted in his word, fully connected to him. John 15:4-5 says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. He's talking about the importance of us being connected to him. But then he also says that we are not to forsake the fellowship of the saints. And the scripture describing the early church and the way that God bound them together in unity and community is so clear that, oh, wow, this needs to be a priority for us. This is like a non-negotiable. But a lot of, there are a lot of people who are like, it's just me and God. Or it's just me and YouTube videos or whatever. Why is that? Because community can be hard. It can be time consuming. It can be challenging. And so a couple of the challenges that came to my mind, just challenges to community, all right? And maybe none of them are for you, but maybe one or two are for you. And then maybe one or two are something that you might consider when you're thinking about somebody else that you think they're struggling with community, just to be sensitive to these challenges that they might be facing. So one is comparison. I think that comparison is a huge barrier to community. And my girls are doing it like crazy with each other right now. They're comparing everything. And I tell them they're not that different, because they have the same mom and the same dad. We shop at the same stores. They go to the same lady for their haircuts. They have a similar color eyes, similar color hair. They're not that different, right? Different in personality, but they're not that different. But my eyes are more beautiful than your eyes. And your hair is not as nice as my hair. And or Or what if we buy them something? Like, let's say somebody gets a new pair of shoes. And now everybody else is looking at that like, well, my shoes aren't that nice compared to those. And then they basically will shut down and not want to have anything to do with each other. They'll be like, I don't even want to look at you. Because, you know, like, I can't stand that you look so nice with your new shoes. And I have these old shoes or whatever. I'm saying this because this is like real life things that we might not recognize it in the moment. But that comparison can cause us to want to like pull away from community altogether, because it can make us feel insecure or inferior or discontent. I don't want to feel discontent. There's nothing like, you know, when people, some people have really fancy Jeeps with a lot of cool stuff added to their Jeeps. And then I could look at my Jeep and be like, it's just a plain, ordinary Jeep with no special tires, nothing stuck on top of it. You know, there's all these things you can add to the Jeeps. But anyway, you either try to compete or you withdraw. It's one or the other, right? So it either becomes competition or it's like, I just give up. And then you are no longer involved in community. Another barrier to community, kind of similar to that, I would say, would be criticism or like a complaining spirit. Just complaining about what other people are doing, criticizing what other people are doing. And if you have that kind of spirit on you, it can be really not so cool when it comes to community. If you're constantly looking at other people and complaining. And I think that that kind of is connected to comparison, because often we complain because we're comparing and then we criticize. So there's that. And then the third one I would say is complacency. Sometimes we just get kind of stuck and complacent. And we just don't put a high value and high priority on it. It takes real commitment, you know, to keep coming to lead worship when you have to drive an hour to get there. You know, like that's not for a complacent person, right? Like complacency is like we can just get kind of settled into what's easy and what fits our schedule instead of leaning in to the priority that God places on community and knowing that it's healthy for us, but it's not just for us, but it's for somebody else too. So I've done a lot of things in community that I thought was for somebody else, and I was doing it to be nice to them. And then months later or years later, it turns out I invested in that relationship because God was preparing them to be able to invest in me. That was a spoiler alert. I didn't know that was coming. You know, like you don't necessarily know that that's why it is. And that might not always be the case. There could be seasons that you're in community with some people pouring into them, and maybe you're not getting a ton out of it. And I don't know. I do know that the heart of God is for us to be community of believers that are growing in our faith together. I know that us reading the Bible together, two or three of you reading the Bible together, just three or four verses, you guys could each have a different perspective on something and just have a little bit of insight that can bring the Bible alive in a way that what I just said this morning can't do, because there's nothing that beats when we open up God's word for ourselves and we talk about it together. We were created for that. And so If you don't pursue that, you miss out on like the beauty of what God designed us for. So the gospel was spread so quickly in the early church days because everybody took it seriously as our role as believers in Christ was to also pour into other people. And there was not the expectation that it was the apostles that were supposed to do it all. It was all the laymen, like Barnabas, a layman. These are just regular members of the church that took it seriously to share the gospel, to try to open up the Bible with somebody, or if they're not ready to open up the Bible, what did I say? We could have a conversation. We could answer questions, or maybe not answer questions, just ask questions and think about it. Because as we kind of bounce things off one another, Holy Spirit starts to speak. Holy Spirit, like everywhere that you go, you are representing God. Everywhere that you go, you bring God's Holy Spirit. And you do not have to even open up a Bible. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to have a bunch of connect groups that have nothing to do with the Bible. Please don't hear, you know, that is not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that there's different people at different spots in their journey of faith. And I am very clear by reading the Bible that Jesus goes to where people are at and he takes his time with them. And he doesn't rush us. He's very gentle and kind like that. So I think that we should be the same way. And we talk about that a lot here at church. We're not here to present a bunch of do's and don'ts. And we are not the Holy Spirit. We're not the ones supposed to convict people of what they should or should not be doing. Instead, it's the posture of let's just pursue God and connection with each other and let God kind of show you little bit by bit. Maybe something that he wants to change in your life. And he's really good with us. I think he's pretty patient with us. And I'm going to say that the thing I want to close with is the attitude that really promotes community. So I just told you a few things that can hinder community. But the attitude that really promotes community, I think, is gratitude. Thankfulness. If we are in that posture of gratefulness for what God has done for us, if we maintain a thankful spirit, just like that that reference, Colossians 2:6-7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. I believe that thankfulness is really a key to engaging in community with believers, because if I keep a thankful heart, I'm not comparing myself to everybody else. If I have a thankful heart, if I'm thankful for you, there's less space for me to be criticizing you because I'm thanking God for your life. I'm thanking God for what he's doing in your life. I'm thanking him for the journey that he's bringing you on. I'm saying thank you, Lord, for that. And if I'm thankful, I think that there's less room for complacency. I think if I'm thankful, then I want to lean in to God and show my appreciation and connect with other people and pour into them. And I believe that that's the design of the church. I believe that's what we were created for. We were designed for that, for community, for deep roots. And God honors it. And I believe that that we each have something to give. And so in this season, like I said, I would really like when the signups go out for connect groups, I would love to have everybody engage in a connect group in some way. You know, it might be 30 minutes meeting once a week at a coffee shop. It could be a Zoom group. It could be in somebody's home over dinner and just a dinner. Just a dinner or just a lunch. You're going to do 6 Sundays in a row where you go out to lunch together after church? Well, okay. You know what I mean? Like, you get to pick what that thing is that you're going to engage in. But for 6 weeks, if you can lean into that, I believe that you're going to see lasting fruit. Not only are we going to be more connected to each other, but more importantly, we're going to be deeply rooted in what God values. And what God says is important, which is for us to be in his word and fellowshipping with one another and then modeling that unity for the body of Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.